For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
I was 12 years old when my family moved to rural Louisiana. My dad had just gotten a new job, and we were leaving behind the bustling suburbs for a quieter, slower life in the countryside. At the time, I wasn't thrilled about it. The idea of being far away from my friends and the life I knew made me uneasy. But my parents kept saying it would be good for us, a fresh start. The house was old, a two-story wooden structure that creaked with every step and groaned under the weight of the wind. It sat on a large plot of land, surrounded by thick woods that stretched as far as the eye could see. There were no other houses in sight, just trees and more trees. The nearest neighbor, my dad said, was about half a mile down the road. For the first few days, everything was normal. We unpacked our things, settled into our new rooms, and tried to get used to the quiet that seemed to hang over the place like a heavy blanket. At night, the silence was almost unbearable. No distant hum of traffic, no late-night chatter from the neighbors, just the sound of the wind rustling through the trees and the occasional creak of the old house. But then, something strange started happening. It began with our dog, Rusty. He was a big, friendly, golden retriever who had always been more interested in belly rubs than anything else. But after we moved, he became different. Nervous, jumpy, always on edge. He would sit by the window, staring out into the woods, his ears perked up as if he was listening for something. And at night, he would bark, long, deep barks that echoed through the house, waking us all up. At first, my parents thought it was just the new environment, that Rusty was adjusting to the unfamiliar sounds and smells. But as the days went on, his behavior only got worse. He would refuse to go outside at night, his tail tucked between his legs, and he would growl at the slightest sound. My dad tried to calm him down, saying it was just animals in the woods, but I could tell he was starting to get worried too. And then we met Nolan. It was a Saturday morning when Nolan showed up. My dad and I were outside, working on the fence that ran along the edge of our property when we saw a figure approaching from the road. At first, I thought it was just one of the workers who had been helping with the move, but as he got closer, I realized I didn't recognize him. Nolan was an older man, probably in his late 50s or early 60s, with gray hair that was thinning at the top and a face that looked like it had seen too much sun. He wore a faded plaid shirt and jeans that were frayed at the hems, and he walked with a slight limp. But what struck me most were his eyes, pale blue, almost gray, and sharp, like they were always watching, always calculating. "Morning," he said, his voice rough like gravel. He smiled, but it didn't reach his eyes. "You must be the new folks." "That's right," my dad replied, wiping sweat from his brow. "Just moved in last week. I'm John, and this is my son." Nolan nodded, his gaze flicking to me for just a second before settling back on my dad. "Name's Nolan. Lived down the road a bit. Thought I'd come by and say hello." "Nice to meet you," my dad said, extending a hand. Nolan shook it, but there was something off about the way he did it. Too firm, too quick, like he was just going through the motions. His eyes darted around the yard, taking in everything, and for a moment, I thought I saw a flicker of something. Interest, curiosity, maybe even a little bit of hunger. "You folks settling in all right?" Nolan asked, still looking around. "Yeah, we're getting there," my dad said, forcing a smile. "House needs a bit of work, but it's a nice place." Nolan nodded, his eyes finally resting on me. "Y'all be careful out here. These woods can be tricky, especially for kids." There was something in the way he said it that made my skin crawl, but I didn't say anything. I just stood there, feeling his gaze on me like a weight. My dad must have sensed my discomfort because he quickly changed the subject, asking Nolan about the area, the neighbors, the best places to go for groceries. Nolan answered all the questions, but there was something strange about the way he talked. His sentences were clipped, his words carefully chosen, like he was hiding something. After a few minutes, Nolan said his goodbyes and limped back down the road. My dad and I watched him go, and I couldn't help but feel a wave of relief when he finally disappeared from view. But the relief didn't last long. That evening, my dad pulled me aside, his expression more serious than I had ever seen it. "I need you to listen to me, son," he said, his voice low. "I don't want you going anywhere near that man, you hear me? If you see him, you stay away." I frowned, confused. "Why?" "He seemed nice enough." My dad shook his head, his jaw tightening. "There's something off about him. I can't explain it, but I don't trust him. And I don't want you getting mixed up with him. Understand?" I nodded, but the unease in my stomach only grew. My dad wasn't the kind of person to get spooked easily, and seeing him this concerned made me worry even more. That night, Rusty started barking again, louder and more frantic than ever.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
He was pacing back and forth in front of the window, his ears flat against his head, growling at something outside. I tried to calm him down, but he wouldn't stop, his eyes fixed on the darkness beyond the glass. I peered out the window, but all I could see were the trees swaying in the wind, the branches casting long, twisted shadows across the yard. There was nothing out there, at least, nothing I could see. But Rusty knew something was there, and whatever it was, it terrified him. I didn't sleep much that night. Every time I closed my eyes, I saw Nolan's face, those cold, calculating eyes staring back at me. I kept hearing his voice in my head, telling me to be careful, warning me about the woods. And every time I thought of him, a chill ran down my spine. A few days later, I was lying in bed trying to fall asleep when I heard it, the unmistakable sound of someone whispering outside my window. At first, I thought I was imagining it, that it was just the wind playing tricks on me. But the more I listened, the clearer it became. Someone was out there, just outside my window, whispering my name. My heart started pounding in my chest, and I felt a cold sweat break out across my forehead. I wanted to call for my parents, but I was too scared to move, too scared to make a sound. And then I heard it again. My name, whispered in that same rough, gravelly voice. Nolan. I forced myself to sit up, my hands trembling as I reached for the curtain. Slowly, I pulled it back, just enough to peek outside. What I saw made my blood run cold. Nolan was standing in the yard, his face illuminated by the pale moonlight. But there was something wrong with him. His skin was ashen, his eyes hollow, and his mouth was twisted into a grotesque grin. He was staring right at me, his head tilted to the side, like he was trying to figure out what I was thinking. I wanted to scream, but I couldn't. I was frozen in place, my eyes locked on his, the fear paralyzing me. And then, suddenly, he was gone. I don't know how he moved so quickly, but in the blink of an eye, he had vanished into the shadows, leaving nothing behind but the lingering sense of dread that hung in the air like a thick fog. I jumped out of bed and ran to my parents' room, my heart racing as I banged on their door. My dad opened it, his face groggy with sleep, but when he saw the look on my face, he woke up fast. "What is it?" he asked, his voice urgent. "Nolan," I stammered. "He was outside. He was right outside my window." My dad didn't waste any time. He grabbed the shotgun he kept under the bed and hurried downstairs, motioning for me to stay close behind him. We checked every door, every window, but there was no sign of Nolan. The yard was empty, the woods silent. But I knew what I had seen, and so did my dad. The next day, my dad started asking around, trying to find out more about Nolan. But the more he asked, the stranger things got. None of the neighbors knew who Nolan was. There was no record of anyone named Nolan living in the area, no one who matched his description. My dad even went to the local police, but they didn't have anything on him either. It was like Nolan didn't exist. That night, my parents sat me down and told me we were moving. They didn't give me a reason, but I knew it had everything to do with Nolan. The next few days were a blur of packing and planning, but I couldn't shake the feeling that we were being watched. Every time I looked out the window, I expected to see Nolan standing there, that twisted grin on his face, those hollow eyes staring back at me. The night before we left, I had a nightmare. I was in my room, lying in bed, when I heard the whispering again. I opened my eyes and there was Nolan, standing at the foot of my bed, his face inches from mine. He was whispering my name over and over, his breath cold on my skin. I woke up drenched in sweat, my heart pounding in my chest. I sat up trying to catch my breath, but the fear was still there, gnawing at my insides. I didn't sleep the rest of the night. The next morning, we loaded up the car and left the house behind. As we drove away, I looked back one last time, half expecting to see Nolan standing in the yard watching us go, but there was nothing. Just the empty house, the silent woods, and the lingering sense of dread that followed us all the way to our new home. My dad never talked about Nolan again, and neither did I. We tried to put it all behind us to move on with our lives, but I could never forget those hollow eyes, that twisted grin, the sound of his voice whispering my name. And sometimes, late at night, when the world is quiet and the darkness presses in, I can still hear him calling out to me from the shadows. When my wife Gianna and I bought our new house, we were filled with excitement. It was everything we had ever dreamed of. A spacious two-story home in a quiet suburban neighborhood with enough room to start a family. The house had been built in the 1920s, a classic craftsman style with wide porches and large windows that let in plenty of light. It had character, style, and as the real estate agent had put it, good bones. From the moment we stepped inside, I could tell Gianna had fallen in love with it. She was already talking about how she would decorate each room, where we could put our future kids' play area, and how we could turn the attic into a cozy reading nook. I was just as excited, already imagining all the projects we could tackle together to make the house truly ours. We moved in on a warm Saturday morning, the kind of day that made everything feel possible. As we unpacked, we laughed about the mountain of boxes we had accumulated over the years and how we would probably still be unpacking them months later. The house was a maze of rooms and hallways, and it seemed like every time we turned a corner, we discovered something new. A hidden closet, a forgotten storage space, or a quirky architectural detail that added to the house's charm. But there was one thing we hadn't discovered yet. A door that we hadn't noticed on any of our walkthroughs. A door that led to a room we didn't know existed. It was a few days after we had moved in when we found the door. We had spent the morning unpacking boxes in the living room and decided to take a break to explore the upstairs. We were still trying to get a feel for the layout of the house, so we wandered from room to room, discussing what we could do with each space. As we reached the end of the hallway, I noticed something strange. The hallway seemed to extend further than I remembered, leading to a small, narrow door at the very end. It was tucked away in a corner, almost hidden behind a tall antique cabinet that the previous owners had left behind. "Did you see this before?" I asked Gianna, pointing to the door. She shook her head, frowning. "No, I don't remember this at all. Do you think it leads to the attic?" "Maybe," I replied, though I was certain we had already found the attic entrance in a different part of the house. "Let's take a look." The door was old, the paint peeling and the wood slightly warped. It didn't match the rest of the house, which had been meticulously maintained. I had to push hard to get it open, the door groaning on its rusty hinges as it swung inward. The room beyond was small, almost claustrophobically so. The floor was covered in a thick layer of dust. There was a single, narrow window at the far end, but it was so grimy that it barely let any light in. The air was stale, heavy with the smell of mildew and something faintly metallic, like old blood. Gianna wrinkled her nose as she stepped inside, her hand covering her mouth. "This is strange," she murmured, her voice muffled. "Why would they block this off?" I didn't have an answer. The room felt wrong, like it didn't belong in the house. It was cold, despite the warmth of the day outside, and there was a sense of stillness that made my skin prickle. As we explored the room, we found nothing of interest, just an old broken chair in one corner and a small cracked mirror on the wall. But there was something about the space that made me uneasy, like we were intruding on something that didn't want to be disturbed. Gianna shivered and rubbed her arms, glancing at the door. "Let's go," she said, her voice tight. "I don't like it in here." I didn't argue. We left the room, closing the door behind us, and tried to forget about it as we continued our tour of the house. But the memory of that cold, dark space lingered in the back of my mind, like a shadow that refused to fade. Over the next few weeks, we settled into our new home. Life was good, better than it had been in years. Gianna and I spent our evenings cooking together, watching movies, and planning our future. The house felt like a fresh start, a place where we could build the life we had always wanted. But then the noises started. It began with small things, a faint creaking sound in the middle of the night, like someone walking down the hallway. I chalked it up to the house settling, or maybe a draft moving through the old walls. But as the days went on, the noises became more frequent, more distinct. One night, I was lying in bed, half asleep, when I heard it again. The sound of footsteps, slow and deliberate, moving down the hallway. I opened my eyes, my heart pounding in my chest, and listened. The footsteps stopped outside our bedroom door, and I held my breath, waiting for something to happen. But there was only silence. The next morning, I mentioned it to Gianna, but she just shrugged it off. "Old houses make noise," she said, not looking up from her coffee. "You're just not used to it yet." I wanted to believe her, but the unease in my gut told me there was more to it than that. The footsteps had sounded too real, too deliberate, like someone or something was walking through the house. As the days passed, the noises continued. Sometimes I would hear the sound of doors creaking open and closed, even though I knew we had locked them. Other times, I would hear a faint whispering, like someone was talking just out of earshot, their voice too soft to make out the words. But it was the room at the end of the hallway that unsettled me the most. No matter how many times I walked past it, I couldn't shake the feeling that something was watching me from behind that door. The sense of wrongness that had permeated the room when we first found it had only grown stronger, and now it seemed to seep into the hallway itself, like a dark, creeping presence. Gianna noticed it too, though she refused to admit it at first. She would glance nervously at the door as we passed it, her steps quickening, as if she couldn't get away from it fast enough. And at night, she would curl up next to me in bed, her body tense, as if she was trying to shut out the noises that filled the house. But we didn't talk about it. We tried to pretend that everything was normal, that the house was just old and full of quirks. But the tension between us grew, fueled by the unspoken fear that something was very, very wrong. The turning point came one night, when I woke up to find Gianna sitting up in bed, staring at the door. Her face was pale, her eyes wide with fear, and her hands were gripping the sheets tightly. "Gianna," I whispered, reaching out to touch her arm. "What's wrong?" She didn't respond, her gaze fixed on the door. I followed her line of sight, my heart pounding in my chest. And then I saw it. There, standing just outside our bedroom, was a figure. It was tall and thin, its body shrouded in darkness, but I could see the outline of its shape, the way it seemed to blend into the shadows. The figure didn't move, didn't make a sound. It just stood there, watching us. For a moment, I couldn't breathe. My mind raced, trying to make sense of what I was seeing. But no matter how hard I tried, I couldn't explain it. The figure wasn't real. Couldn't be real. But it was there, standing in our hallway, as real as anything else in the house. And then, as suddenly as it had appeared, it was gone. The figure had vanished, leaving only the dark, empty hallway behind. Gianna let out a shaky breath, her body trembling as she turned to me. "Did you see it?" she whispered, her voice barely audible. I nodded, too stunned to speak. We didn't sleep the rest of the night. We sat up in bed, holding each other, our eyes fixed on the door, waiting for the figure to return. But the house was silent, the hallway empty. The next morning, we decided we couldn't stay in the house. Whatever was happening, it was beyond our understanding, beyond anything we could deal with. We packed our bags and checked into a hotel. But even there, the fear followed us. Every creak, every shadow, every whisper of the wind sent us into a state of panic, our nerves frayed and raw. We knew we couldn't go back to the house, but we didn't know what else to do. On the next day, I managed to track down the family that had sold us the house, an older couple who had lived there for over 30 years. "The house has a history," the husband said, his voice tinged with regret. We never told you because we didn't think it was important, but now... He paused, glancing at his wife, who nodded solemnly. There was a room, he continued, a room that was sealed off when we bought the house. The previous owners said it was just storage, but we never used it. We always felt strange about it, like something wasn't right. I felt a chill run down my spine. What happened? The wife spoke up, her voice trembling. We had some strange experiences over the years, noises, shadows, things that couldn't be explained, but it was always centered around that room. We eventually blocked it off, hoping it would stop. And it did, for a while. But now that it's open again. The husband trailed off, his expression grim. I went back to the hotel, my mind racing. The room had been sealed off for a reason, something the previous owners had tried to keep hidden, something they had hoped would stay buried. But now it was too late. We had opened the door, and whatever was in that room had been released. We returned to the house one last time. We didn't want to, but we knew we had to. The fear, the anxiety, it had consumed us, and the only way to stop it was to confront whatever was in that room. The house was silent when we arrived, the air heavy with anticipation. We made our way upstairs, our footsteps echoing in the empty hallway. The door to the phantom room stood at the end, slightly ajar, as if waiting for us. I hesitated, my hand trembling as I reached for the doorknob. Gianna stood beside me, her face pale but determined. "We have to do this," she whispered, her voice shaking. I nodded, taking a deep breath, and pushed the door open. The room was just as we had left it, small, dark, and cold. But this time there was something else. A presence. A feeling of being watched, like something was lurking just out of sight. And then we saw it. The figure, standing in the corner, its shape barely visible in the dim light. It didn't move, didn't make a sound. It just stood there, its eyes, or what passed for eyes, fixed on us. For a moment I was paralyzed with fear, but then something inside me snapped. I couldn't let this thing control our lives, couldn't let it win. I stepped forward, my voice trembling but strong. "You don't belong here," I said, my words echoing in the small room. "This is our home, not yours. You need to leave." The figure didn't respond, didn't move, but I could feel the tension in the room, the way the air seemed to thicken, like it was resisting. And then, slowly, the figure began to fade. It didn't disappear all at once. It was gradual, like a shadow being erased by the light. But as it faded, the room grew warmer, the sense of dread lifting like a fog being burned away by the sun. Finally, the figure was gone. Gianna let out a breath she hadn't realized she was holding, her body sagging with relief. I turned to her, pulling her into a tight embrace, the fear and anxiety melting away as we held each other. The room was empty now. The room lay in just a small, forgotten space in an old house. But we knew that whatever had haunted it was gone. We had faced it, and we had won. We stayed in the house after that. It took time to recover, to shake off the fear that had gripped us for so long, but we did it together. The phantom room remained, but it was just a room now, a part of the house's history, but no longer a threat. Sometimes, when I walk past it, I still feel a faint chill, a reminder of what we had faced. But it doesn't scare me anymore. It's just a part of our story, a chapter in the life we've built together. And as for the figure, I don't know what it was or why it was there, but I do know one thing. It's gone, and it's not coming back. But sometimes late at night, when the house is silent and the wind is still, I can't help but wonder, what if it wasn't the only one?
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with autopay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.